Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Well, I want to just say that today is a word that I have been really excited about, because this is probably pulled from one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, and it's in Joshua. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Joshua chapter 24. I have been talking about for the last couple of months the determined life, living a determined life, and I've been using Joshua. The stories that are in Joshua are just so profound to me in how it relates to the life of a Christian. So today we're getting to the end of Joshua, and Joshua is asking the people of Israel to do something, and it's exactly what that song was saying there at the end. He's saying, well, I need you to make a commitment. I need you to make a decision. What are you going to do? You may think that after all that God had done and all the miracles that they had been a part of, Joshua is now saying, make a commitment. This is the end of Joshua. I mean, all through Joshua, they had been watching. Joshua tells a story of all the different miracles, all the things that God's people had seen. And now he said, okay, now you need to make a decision. Joshua 24, Joshua understood the power of being in the presence of the Lord and making a commitment. Church, I want you to know before we even get started today, there is power in being in the presence of the Lord and you making a commitment. Making a commitment. There's power in that. There's power in that. This is Joshua's farewell address to the nation. So Joshua 24, verse 14. Says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Everybody just repeat that. Choose today. Choose today. Choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors, the ones that they served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, another version says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a commitment publicly in front of all of them. And he said, choose today. Choose today. I want to talk about that. Today, there's a choice that you can make. Now, tomorrow, you'll have another choice, but we're talking about today. Right now is where we are at this present time. You can't fast forward. You can't rewind. You are present tense right where you are. And the Bible, in Joshua, in what he was saying to God's people, he said, choose today who you will serve. Joshua said, as far as him and his house, as far as him and his family, as far as him and his household, we choose God. We're going to choose God. We're going to choose today who we're going to serve, and that's going to be God. Joshua 24, verse 14. The first part of that where it says, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly, that word in the Hebrew is translated in a lot of different ways. It talks about, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Now fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. We've talked about being wholehearted. Fear the Lord and serve him sincerity, with sincerity and loyalty. Fear the Lord and serve him. And here's the two words that I want to talk about, with integrity and truth. Wholeheartedly is with integrity and with truth, which means you're not making anything up. Serve the Lord with wholeness, with perfection, with completeness. Joshua is calling God's people to be all in. Joshua points out three things today in this passage of Scripture that we need to do. First one is we need to fear the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. Second one is we need to serve him wholeheartedly with integrity and truth. We're all in. And the third thing, he says to put away some of the idols or gods, little g gods. Put away some of the things that you've been messing with here. Joshua's saying, okay, We've experienced a lot with God. Church, let me just tell you today, Christian Ministry Church, we've experienced a lot. We really have. We've experienced a lot with the Lord. And we're continuing to move forward and move on. I mean, I can tell you things that have happened that we wouldn't write down in this world to say, boy, that was a great time. There are things we've experienced that is just horrible, and it wasn't good. I'm not going to bring honor to that. I'm not going to lift that up. That was a horrible place to be in. But we've also experienced supernatural blessings, supernatural healings. We've experienced things with God. And so we've got the full array of wows here at Christian Ministries Church. Joshua is telling the people, hey, we have experienced some wonderful things. Now here's where we're going to go from here. We've also experienced some real frustrations. Now here's where we're going to go from here. But what you have to know is you will have to make a choice. You just have to make a choice. Choose today. Choose today. You have to make a choice. We know that the children of Israel, during this time of all of this happening, moving into the promised land, they had worshiped pagan gods while they were in Egypt. And you don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 17:7 mentions that they were worshiping goat idols. If you've ever been around goats, to idolize a goat is really weird. Goat idols, that's about as far off as you can get. Deuteronomy 32, Moses mentioned that they had worshiped demons in the wilderness. Now many may think, and I do, I mean, I have a hard time sometimes wrapping my mind around all of this. All right, God parted the Red Sea. Now, if you had been there, would that not be something that would ever be marked in your memory? He parted the Red Sea, and you would think after that the people would be all in with God and they'd never turn away. I mean, from outwardly looking in, he parts the Red Sea, he gives them manna, he sends quail, he water from a rock, pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. The presence of God were daily by. How in the world could you not be totally committed to him? Knowing all of these things, I mean, you're just like, but as they're going through the wilderness, some of them are worshiping demons. They get into the land of Canaan, and some of them are worshiping the gods of the Canaanites and the Amorites, little g god. The people that they are defeating, they're joining in worship with. It makes no sense when you think, why would you do that? The Canaanite worship, why would you get involved with that? Because it appealed to the flesh. You wonder why they would, after seeing all of these wonderful godly wows, why would you then go and do this? Because I'm telling you, that power and that pull from the flesh is something else. And the Canaanite worship was very sensual, sexual. It was a pulling. And right now in our society, you can look around and we're at an all-time high of that. That pull. That sensual, that sexuality, that was the worship of the Canaanites. And it satisfied an appetite from the flesh. Now, they had never really totally ridded themselves of their gods. And I'm going to say gods, but they had experienced the true God. But they hadn't ridded themselves of their gods. But they had experienced and seen the power and the miracles of the true God. But they had never ridded themselves of the gods. And I think that it's very important that we point this out because it's where we find the American church today. They have experienced and they have seen the true God. But they haven't ridded themselves of the worship that comes from a desire of flesh. And I say this to remind us that it's possible for God's people to be in the right crowd, to be under the right leadership, and to experience God's blessing. I mean, they have been under Moses. His face glowed with the glory of God. They've been under Moses, and and they're conquering new land, and they're given victory, and they've been enjoying the bread of heaven, manna, and they're seeing miracles, water coming from a rock, and yet they have divided loyalty when it come to God. And it's not that they didn't want the true God. They just wanted him and the other little gods. They wanted both. They didn't want to be totally in. And it wasn't they ever said, I don't want to be totally in. But their life represented that they weren't. Joshua knows that if they don't make a choice to exclusively, passionately, wholeheartedly serve the true God, and they didn't get rid of the idol worship of little gods, they would eventually serve the false gods and not pay attention to the true God. And he knows that if it doesn't happen to the generation that he's talking to, it will their kids or their kids' kids. Listen today. What you and I do in moderation, our children will do in excess. What you and I do in moderation, our children will do in excess. You allow a little sinful activity in your life, and your kids will allow a lot. You give an inch to the enemy, and the enemy doesn't fight fair. So you give an inch to the enemy, and he'll get the next generation with the mile. We can do a little bit of that, and then the next generation does a lot more of that. And the next generation then is entrapped by that. It's amazing to me. I've watched this now in my life. Joshua's warning them. We better be in a 365-day service a year to him. The question today is, have you chosen? Have you chosen? You say, well, I have. I'm here this morning. What are the evidences of your service to God? Is your service and time to God only on Sundays and Wednesdays? And the only time you're spending with God is those 2 days, then what God are you spending time with the rest of the week? Because we are beings who will worship something. We will be drawn to something. And so if you're only devoting to the true God on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, or just Sunday mornings, or an occasional Sunday morning, what God are you spending time with during the other days and times of your life? If God's children are experiencing blessings because of godly leadership and they're not at all in on it, then as soon as they're not sitting under that leadership or they're not in the presence of that leadership, they're not going to be in the presence of the blessings. Now, this is Joshua that I'm talking about. And he's talking to his people, God's people, about idols. And we can define idols in this way. Idols can tend to be good things that turn into God things. Let me explain that. Idols can be good things that turn into God things and then become bad things. Have I got everybody's attention? Something good can become bad if it becomes your God. And I'm not talking about the true God. I'm talking about good things are good things. But good things can become bad things. We live in a day and age where the pharmaceutical industry had a great intent in the beginning to help. But a good thing can become a bad thing when it becomes your thing. And I want you to hear that today, not just in that. There's hundreds upon hundreds of things we could put in this place. You talk about idols, we talk about God worship. Where idols are where people are, because people will worship idols. And you say, how is that the case? A lot of good things can become idols. Families can become idols. In the evangelical church, one of the biggest false gods there is the family. I've watched it for years. I've watched families, well, Pastor, you won't see us much this summer because we're just going to be with family. We're going to devote this summer to family. So you're going to reject assembling yourselves together with the church, which is clearly scriptural and godly, and you go hang out at the lake all summer. Hanging out at the lake, and then we'll get back to the church in the fall. Well, people will say, well, that's just our family time. That's because your family time has become your God. See, family time can become your God. Activities can become your God. People make choices about activities. Choose today. Well, I'm choosing an activity. Pastor, that's just what we do. That's just what our family does. And that's because that is what your God is. It's because that's what your God's become. That's who you're serving. Well, we have to do that. Well, you know, your job and career can become your God. A job or career can become an idol. Maybe it can be a hobby. Friends of mine, years ago, I'll never forget this conversation. I just don't need church. My church is the woods. That's where my church is. My church is in the woods. When I'm in the woods or when I'm on the lake or on the river, I just feel better. I can worship better there. Well, of course you can, but you're worshiping the wrong God. So worship the fishing pole, the deer walking up. You got to be careful that a good thing don't become a God thing, little g, an idol. It's when we begin to say, I'm going to set aside time with the family of God and the church of the living God and be committed to the Lord and what he says, that we can then enjoy the blessings of God. But it's choosing. It's a choice that you make. I choose today, and then I choose tomorrow, and then I choose the next day. But today is today. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. And the blessings come after you make the commitment, and then you proclaim the commitment. You make the commitment, and you proclaim it. Jesus said it on the declaration of who you say I am, Peter. Remember this in Scripture? That declaration of you are Christ, you are God, you are that knowing who Jesus is, upon that declaration, choosing today I'm going to serve you, upon that declaration of who I am, I'm going to build my church on that. And the gates of hell won't prevail against the church. Now, knowing that, he says, I'm going to build my church. What's he building? The church. And he says in Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Come on, the closer we get to the coming of Jesus, the more you ought to be in church. Well, the church isn't a building. Okay, but it is people. And I have found if you never come to the building, then you usually aren't around God's people. So you sit here and say, get that caught up on the specifics of, well, the church isn't a building. I agree. Guess who's right here today? The church. And the closer we're getting to Jesus, the more we need to not be neglecting church. Life groups, imperative that you're part of. See, people make a bunch of little g gods out of things, and the tool the devil's using is, if he can draw your worship away from the true God and get you on a little god, then the next thing you know is you're missing the blessings of God, your life is an example of God, and who would be drawn to the church when God's people aren't? God's people aren't drawn to the church. Then how are people who don't know Jesus ever going to get drawn to the church? Doesn't make any sense. People can make a god of anything, and it's their choice who they make the god. People make a god of their health. Now, they won't read their Bible, but they're going to be in the gym. Now, I can get on 100 topics here, but they're so into what they're doing that they put in the place of praying and reading the Bible, working out. Maybe their commitment, I just feel closer to the people I'm working out with than the people I do in church. I get that, but you're worshiping the wrong God. Because the people of the church are worshiping the true God. Or at least they're in the presence of people who are. Sometimes they're in his presence, but they're not worshiping him, they're worshiping... I'm not saying that they're not serving Jehovah God. I'm just saying they've added to who they are serving. You can serve more than one God. Pastor, really? Yeah. We make God come in many ways. It can be money. It can be appearance. It can be status. It can be, well, what do others think about me? It can be where you spend the majority of your time. It can be entertainment on the TV, on the couch, monopolizing your time. It can be games. But when you're replacing time that could have been God's with something else, you're replacing your ability to worship the true God, and you're adding to it. Now, I want you to know this. You just got to be careful that your focus of daily worship doesn't become something other than God, the true God. Now, church, today, I want you to hear something. I'm not trying to be legalistic. That is not my heart, and neither was it Joshua's. It wasn't Joshua's heart. We don't want to find ourselves in the same situation that the people of Israel found themselves in. We don't want to be there. We can mistakenly assume, since we are part of Christianity in the church on Sundays and Wednesdays occasionally, we see God move and we're sensing God's presence and we're seeing a supernatural work. So obviously me being here is satisfactory or enough. And Joshua says, whoa. I'm going to make a proclamation. And my proclamation is this. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. And what he's saying is, you can choose to do whatever you want. And in life, you'll be working with people. You'll go to family reunions with some of your own relatives. And you can see what choices they've made. But for the family of God, prayerfully, you and your individual homes should be choosing to serve God. Choose today. Joshua says, this is what I'm doing. He's leading God's people in a conquest of the land. However, the land has not all been conquered. Let me say that again. He's leading them in a conquest of the land, but the land has not all been conquered. It's not all been conquered. You have a corporate group conquering, but individually they're not all on the same page conquering in their own lives. Could it be, well, hear me when I say this, church people. Could it be the absence of victory in your life could have less to do with the delay on God's part, but it has more to do with your dedication to the Lord and your service to Him? You're praying and believing God for something, and you just think He hasn't shown up yet, and He's waiting for you to show up. Joshua kind of just lays it out. There are many idols in our world: alcohol, drugs, food, medication, sexual sin, computer, pornography. There are things that become an idol. Idolatry is just worshiping created things. And little gods are created things. And when you start worshiping created things, you're into idolatry. You're worshiping little gods. How do I know something has become an idol in my life? Two ways. First one is, what do you fear losing? What do you fear losing? Answer that question, and you can find that you're headed in a direction of what you fear losing. And that can become an idol. The second thing that you can know that something has become an idol is what brings you relief. Is a pill that brings you relief? Is it alcohol that brings you relief? Is it a hobby that brings you relief? Or is it God that brings you relief? I mean, maybe you worship work out of fear of not having a job or not having income. You worship work. But then you get home and you're not in fear, but you get home and you're not still serving the true God. So you pull out a nice cold drink from the refrigerator that's going to move my mind to a different place. Well, what are you doing that for? Because that's my relief. Are you finding how we see this in God's people all the time? Absolutely we do. Because we have made things God that God never intended us to. We have to think, well, where are we focusing? What are we thinking on? What is making up the sum of my time? Are we giving him the attention he deserves? Or have we made the commitment that we're going to serve him? Let's read this again after talking about all this. Joshua 24, put that up one more time. Verse 14 says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived in Egypt, when they lived in sin. Now he's talking to people that aren't living in sin anymore. So he's saying, hey, put away the things that they were doing while they were in sin. You're a Christian now and you're still doing things that the people that were doing when they were in sin. Egypt represents sin. When you become a Christian, you put away the things you did when you were in sin. Are they all sinful? No. Not if we're going to rate, but they're things that aren't leading you to the presence of God. They're filling your time and they're putting your attention on something else. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Do you prefer the gods your ancestors served, or will it be the gods of the Amorites where you live now? There are gods everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. In your past, oh man, what my mom and dad had to deal with. When that comes out of your mouth, you're saying, I have chosen not to deal with what my mom and dad dealt with. But don't think that that won't be an attack where you're at. Your dad had problems with his health in this area, and now you're probably going to too. I'm not going to worship the idols from the past. Nor am I going to worship the idols of the people that I'm living right now in life with and they're worshiping. I'm going to choose today to serve the true God. And that's where we have to be. Joshua just makes a proclamation and he says, I am going to serve God. My family's going to serve God. What do I value in life? What am I going to leave as a legacy? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What do you value in life and what are you going to leave? What are people going to know about you? Better yet, what are your kids going to know about you? People want to excuse how they are today based on how they were raised. Well, that's just the way I am. And we never break past what we have done our whole life and we repeat and live in the same thing and the same thing because we're not serving God. If you're a parent, you bring your children with you on your journey. Well, I didn't mean to. You don't have a choice. Your kids are with you. And they're coming on your journey with you. It's better for you to make decisions early on, parents. Some of you that have older kids would agree with this, than to make a course correction when your children are in your teens. When they're in their teens, it's very difficult to make a course correction. But today, if you choose today and you make the declaration today, me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's not made just because you're in church on Sunday morning. I applaud you for being in church on Sunday morning, but we've got to move past just the Sunday morning. We're just talking on Sunday. How do you lead your family in serving the Lord? I'm glad you asked. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. I love this. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you're about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. If the Lord tarries, church, the choices that we make today echo many years after you are not here anymore. I know that because I can look at my grandparents' lives on both sides. And I can see the choices that they made echo in my family years later. To me and to my kids, this is what I'm standing for. And I'm making the right choice today. Make the declaration as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. The way I serve God has a huge impact on my home. And then on my children. And then on my grandchildren. I love that my grandchildren have a godly heritage and they got generations that have served God. It's important. It's important that you get that lineage. Well, I wish I had that. You can choose today to start that. That's a choice that you have to make. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I love this. He's talking to parents here, and in verse 5, talking to parents, he goes on to say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Church, it starts in the heart. It starts in the heart. Heart commitment. Once it's in my heart, it becomes who I am and what I do. Once it gets in my heart, once it's in my heart, and I'm not making decisions out of my heart, but once it gets in my heart, it affects me. And once it gets in my heart, then it comes out of my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So you got to feed that heart the right thing. Get the right stuff in the heart because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you're worshiping idols, little gods, then you're getting the wrong thing in your heart and then the wrong thing starts coming out of your mouth because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I can tell you real quick by what's coming out of a mouth what that person's thinking. What I am passionate about on the inside will become obvious on the outside. Do people know you're passionate about God? Well, sure. Do they know that you're passionate about his church? Well, I haven't made church the priority. Let me just tell you, the body of Christ is the functioning of the church here on earth, and it's the way Christ chooses for him to be manifested here on earth, is through the church. So you can't honor God outside of the church. Pastor, I don't know that I agree with that. It's within the church that the functioning of the body of Christ operates. I am all about ministries that are going on across this great country, but they can't operate separate from the church. They can't operate separate from the church. I'll never back off of that point. I know a lot of people may not agree with me, but ministries that are operating separate of the church are not biblical because they're forsaking the assemblies of the believers. And the believers in the church is what God chose to operate through here on earth. That's why the church is so important. So important. Parents, if you want your kids to love God with all their hearts, then you have to. We have to get our service and relationship with the Lord to a place where it's in our hearts. So it's coming out our action and our mouths and then passed on to our kids. In my lifetime, I've watched this a bunch. I've seen parents send their kids to church, but they didn't go. From the time I was a kid, I've watched this. I've watched parents tell their kids it's good for them to be in church, and then they would go during church and do something totally different. That makes no sense to me. Kids, you need to be in church. They're basically saying, you need it, but I don't. And the kids are thinking, when I'm your age, mom and dad, I won't either. That's exactly what they're thinking. Because they're going to do what they have been led to do, and you're leading them. Kids need to see you worship. They need to see you love God. Dads, moms, they need to see you pray. It's not a robotic thing. It comes out of the heart. It comes from a commitment of what you fed in. How do you express this to your children? How do I tell my kids? Well, Deuteronomy 6 just is so good. In verse 7, it says, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I have been to several of your homes, and I always look for scripture when I go into someone's home. And I have yet to be disappointed to walk in a Christian's home. I always see scripture somewhere on a wall. Well, why? Because you're doing what Deuteronomy said. I'm going to write it up here. I'm going to put it on the wall. It's going to be all over our place. People are going to see the Word of God in our home. When my kids were going through their early years of school and of forming relationships, we would have talks. We would visit. Tristan's going, what is he going to say right now? We would sit down at dinner, or we'd sit down of an evening, or we'd talk before bed, or we'd talk at breakfast. And we would talk about what they were dealing with. And they would talk about something a teacher said, something a friend of theirs said, something that they were dealing with or they had saw or seen. And they would ask us questions. And we would always be quick to say, well, what do you think about that? Because we didn't want to stifle their thinking, but we would let them respond. Now, there are times in a child's life when they respond that they don't have a biblical response. They have a flesh response. So what we would do is we would just say, well, let me give you another way to think about that. Here's what the Bible says. And then we would repeat a verse out of Scripture. How do you repeat a verse out of Scripture? You know it. And so there's got to be something that's in you that you've been studying and feeding yourself so that when you have those conversations with your kids, you can say, well, here's what the Bible says. What do you think about that? What do you think about that after you hear what the Bible says? Oh, well, maybe I should do this. And see, we were teaching them with the authority of the Word, not just the authority of mom and dad. And a lot of mom and dads try to teach only on their own authority, but their own actions aren't pointing to God. They're not teaching with the authority of God, and they're finding themselves teaching things that aren't right. They talk to you that way, you should have just punched them right in the face. Yeah, that's exactly what the Bible says. Turn the other cheek. I don't know what to... See, we're going to teach things and we're going to separate it by how we feel, what our God is, and we're feeding ourselves into our heart the wrong thing, and then out of our heart, it's coming right out of our mouths and out of the abundance of the heart. Are you getting this? Some really big stuff here. We talk about what they were going through. Bring the Bible into light. Talk about the things of God all the time. Put the word of God everywhere. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is talking about. Deuteronomy 30, last scripture today. Verse 16 says, "For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy." The word multiply also in the NIV says increase. We'll give you increase. So there'll be multiplication. There'll be increase. There are things that happens when you live by the decrees, the commands, and the regulations of God. Verse 17, "But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I've given you the choice." Here we go. "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make." Let me just tell you, everybody is witnessing the choice you make. "Today I call on heaven and earth." God knows what choice you're making. You're not hiding anything. He knows what you're doing in your private time. You may be hiding it from everybody in here. You may be hiding it to everybody at work. But God knows. "Today I call on heaven and earth, and it will be revealed. I call on heaven and earth. Choose life that you may be, you and your descendants might live." That you would just choose life. That you would just choose life. You can make this choice, verse 20, by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. God isn't asking for you to surrender and give up some things to keep something from you. What he's doing is asking you to surrender so that he can bless you with more of him. Parents, let me just say, we got some young parents here with young kids. I just want to applaud you for being in church. I know it's not easy. There's very few Sundays that go by that we don't hear a baby start screaming. And then we watch that mama just get up and walk out. I came up to Brooke the other night, and I just said, "Brooke, I've seen you get up 2 or 3 times. And she's like, "I know." And I said, "I applaud you. Getting up, walking out, and walking back in." Brooke didn't get anything out of the word because all she was doing was paying attention to that baby. Or did she? I'm not going to say she didn't get anything. She brought that baby into the presence of God. Now the baby said, "I don't want to pay attention." And so Brooke gets up and walks outside with the baby and says, "You're going to pay attention." And we walk back inside. And the baby says, "I'm not going to pay attention." And she walks back outside. And she goes, "You're going to pay attention." And then she walks back inside. And you know, you'll find yourself doing that for 2 or 3 years. It's not that long, but it seems like it's like 5 or 6 years. And it'd just be a lot easier to stay at home. Come on. Be a lot easier. Just be so much easier to stay at home. Except for that becomes a product of who you are. And staying home becomes a lot easier. And then you're worshiping something else on Sunday mornings besides who you should have been worshiping. Moms, dads, I applaud you for being in church this morning. This church isn't sitting here mad at you or frustrated because we have a baby. We honor you that you walk outside, and we appreciate that so that we can continue to hear and worship what's happening in here. But we appreciate when you walk back in. "Well, I just don't get to hear much." We're in a day of technology. You have podcasts. Set some time aside in your week. "Well, I don't have an hour at a time." Do 10 minutes a day. You'll get the whole sermon list due by Friday. I'm just saying, the devil wants you to take your focus off of God. He'll do anything. He'll use your own kids. If I can just get them not here, They don't have to be in my presence. That's never what God says. God does not say, stay at home. It'd be horrible for you to go to church this morning. Do you think God ever says that? No. That's something we conjure up in our own flesh. It'd just be easier. I understand it'd be easier. There's a lot of things that are easier, and all of them are flesh things. The things of God require a commitment. And today, I pray that we as a church can stand in agreement on one page and say, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.